This morning, I want to share with you some snippets of an article that came out in the USA Today this past Tuesday. The first line contained these words: "Most young adults today don't pray, don't worship, and don't read the Bible." That's not a very thrilling statement to me. I know it's not to you. But it's the result of a study done. Kathy Lynn Grossman says this is based on a major study done by a Christian research firm. Lifeway Christian Resources surveyed 1,200 18 to 29-year-olds. And I want to share with you a few of the results that they found. They found that 65% rarely or never pray with others, and 38% almost never pray by themselves. Now, there is something to be said for the other percentage that do pray and pray with others. But the majority rarely or never pray. 65% rarely or never attend worship services. 67%, this survey found, don't read the Bible. What about those that were surveyed that, and I quote, believe they will go to heaven because they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? How did the results differ on some of these same questions? 68% of these did not mention faith, religion, or spirituality when asked what was really important in their lives. 68% of those who believe they're going to heaven. 50% of these do not attend church at least weekly. 36% rarely or never read the Bible. And only 40% believe it is their responsibility to share the gospel. And again, these would be believers, those who believe they're going to heaven. Tom Rayner, president of Lifeway Christian Resources, says roughly 15% appear to be deeply committed Christians in study, prayer, and in worship to God. Rayner says that many are either mushy Christians or Christians in name only, but most of them are just indifferent. He would also go on to write, "The more precisely you try to measure their Christianity, the fewer you find committed to the faith." And he made this alarming statement: "The millennial generation," and from what I can determine, this is those born after 1980, "the millennial generation, if these trends continue, we'll see churches closing as quickly as GM dealerships." I hope that you find these things alarming. But I want to share with you a thought that permeated that article that I think needs to be addressed. Because there's a lot of confusion in the world about these terms. In a major part of this article, there was a discussion about, well, are you spiritual or are you religious? And many surveyed, in fact, many would say today, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And the question is, what do those terms mean? And what do people mean when they say, well, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual? You see, both of these words are Bible words. Even in the original language, they're Bible words. But are people using these terms with the Bible meanings when they say, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual? One writer suggests the following meanings. Religion is man's attempt to reach God, whereas being spiritual is opening up ourselves to God's influence on our whole being. Now, broadly speaking, religion, that would probably be a good definition. When you look at religion as a whole, religion as in every type of superstition or religious practice through the ages and throughout the different peoples of the world, in their attempts to reach God or what they believe to be God, that might be a good definition. Being spiritual, again, that's one statement that's been given. However, I want to share with you what I believe many refer to as religion and is what they mean by being spiritual. I would suggest to you this morning that when many people say, or when they refer to religion, especially in the sense that I'm not religious, what they mean is I'm not a part of organized religion. Have you ever heard that statement? Well, I don't believe in organized religion, and therefore I'm not religious. And added to that, the word spiritual, what does that mean in the usage in this article and in common vernacular today? What does it mean? Well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm afraid to tell you this, but I'm afraid this word spiritual can mean most anything and everything. So with that confusion, am I religious or am I spiritual? And what does God desire from me? Should there be a distinction of those terms, and how does that fit into my life? Colin Hansen, 29 years old, wrote a book, Young, Restless, Reformed. And he says that he sees many in his generation veering to what he calls moralistic, therapeutic deism. That's a mouthful. But he subheads it this way. God wants you to be happy and do good things. Now, there's a lot of truth to that statement, but that's an incomplete statement. I don't believe it fully conveys the will of God as revealed through the Scriptures. But I believe this fits the mindset of many who would try to define what it means to be spiritual. Well, God wants me to be happy and do good things. And certainly that's a part of it. But I want to ask you to join me for a few moments this morning. And let's go to the Scriptures. And I want to look at one passage of Scripture, a series of passages that I believe will help us define what it means to be spiritual and religious in the way God defines those things. And those passages are found in Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6. I want to point out 10 markers here of what it means to be spiritual and religious in the sight of God. Number one, what it means to be spiritual particularly is to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Is to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. What does it mean to be spiritual? That's part of the definition right there. It means to have this fruit of the Spirit born in your life, that you are more loving, that you have more joy, that you are patient and you're kind and good and faithful. You exercise self-control. These are evidences that the Spirit of God resides in you, that you belong to God. And that's a big part of the definition of what it means to be spiritual. I told Chris I wanted to grab this video clip that accompanied this USA Today article about this young man, a philosophy student, that was describing what it means to him to be spiritual. And it showed him sitting on his bed with his legs crossed and just closing his eyes and he says, clearing his mind. And those may be good techniques for relaxation and clearing our minds and but you know, the Bible teaches us we should not only clear our minds of those negative things, but fill our minds with the Word of God. But I'm afraid in many minds that to be spiritual is something like that, that would represent Eastern religions and meditation and things of that nature. But folks, what the Scripture tells us is you who are spiritual are those who are more loving, who are joyful, have that true joy, who are patient with others, and so forth, as we see the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go into chapter 6 and verse 1. Who is spiritual? Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In the context, you who are spiritual, in the last part of chapter 5, it says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They're guided by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God teaches us through the Word of God. Those are the ones who are spiritual. But then he also tells us, Paul does by inspiration, what does it mean to be spiritual? That you seek to restore a fallen brother. That you know a brother or sister in Christ that has been overtaken or caught up in some sin. And you who are spiritual care enough about that person that you go to that person and you try to restore them. And the idea is putting, it's also been used to set a bone that's been broken. To restore it to its natural place. If we're spiritual, that means that we care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they're caught up in some sin, we are spiritual enough to go to them and seek to restore them to their place in God's family. With the right spirit, in humility, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, that's a far different cry than how many would define spiritual today. What does it mean to be spiritual? Look at the next verse. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Being spiritual means helping to bear another person's burden. And the idea here is there's two different words used, one in verse 2, one in verse 5. In some translations, they're both translated burden. But there are two different ideas here. In verse 2, the idea is here's a person that's carrying some burden that's too heavy for them to bear by themselves. And they need some help. If we would fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love, and if we would be spiritual, that means caring enough about another person that we bear up under that load with them. You see, I'm afraid in today's world, spirituality is a self-centered thing. That it's all about finding yourself and doing these different techniques. But as the Bible presents it, it's not an inward focus, it's an outward focus. And it means caring enough about others to help them bear their loads. What else does it mean? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 of Galatians 6. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't think of self too highly. That's a mark of spirituality. We don't think of ourselves too highly. Here's a commentary on that. Romans 12 verse 3. I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of his faith. So there's no room for boasting or comparison, but we each think of ourselves as God desires. What else does it mean? Going along with that in verse 4, it means to be open and honest about one's contribution to God. Let each one examine his own work, verse 4, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Another version states it, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. So it's not comparing, but it's doing our part, seeking to follow God faithfully and being open and honest about what we do in His service. Next, look at verse 5. What does it mean to be spiritual, to be religious as God sees it? Here's a person who accepts responsibility for his own actions. For each one shall bear his own burden or his own load. And there's that other word. Verse 2, it referred to a burden that's too heavy for a single person to bear. And out of love, fulfilling the law of Christ and being spiritual, what it means to be spiritual, we help that person bear that load. But here the idea is there are some burdens, some loads, and some have said this refers to a soldier's pack that he would have to carry into battle. There are some burdens each of us must bear by ourselves, alone. Each of us individually must stand before God, for example. Each of us has that responsibility to obey the commandments of God. No one else can do those for us. Each one shall bear his own load. A person who is spiritual, as God sees it, accepts responsibility for his own actions. Next, A person who is spiritual gladly supports those who bring him the truth. He doesn't try to pass the buck. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Earlier in this same book, Paul wrote, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" The answer is no, an enemy. He's not an enemy because he tells you the truth. In fact, that's your greatest friend. And a person who is spiritual recognizes that those who would share with him the truth really are friends and really share those things that are needed. Next, a spiritual person understands this principle, this divine principle of sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. One who is spiritual recognizes there are consequences to my actions and to the actions of others. And I must live life with that reality in mind. That's what it means to be spiritual. Two more. Being spiritual means never giving up. Paul wrote to these Christians, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." That's a component of spirituality, this perseverance, this determination to continue to live for God faithfully. And then finally, being spiritual means seizing opportunities to do good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You see, as we read through these passages, and we could spend a lot more time seeking an even greater understanding of them. If you want to know, am I spiritual? Am I religious in the sight of God? Here are some good passages to reflect upon, to study. Are you spiritual and religious from the standpoint of God? Are you involved in on these things which describe one who is spiritual according to the Scriptures? By the way, the very things that survey showed that were lacking by most 18 to 29-year-olds surveyed. I refer back to that statement, most young adults today don't pray, don't worship, and don't read the Bible. Folks, those are some of the very things that help us grow spiritually. We cannot grow in our relationship to God without these things. That's how important that it is that we speak to God in prayer, that we let him know our heart's desires and our requests, our concerns, that we allow him to speak to us through his word, that his word be a companion of our daily lives. And it's so important for us to reach up to him in our worship and give him the adoration, the praise that he deserves. We cannot grow. We cannot grow spiritually unless we engage in those things fully. Are you religious in the eyes of God? And again, religious or religion is a Bible word. Look how what James says about it. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I hope that what we'll see through this survey of these concepts and how God defines them, the spirituality is an individual thing, yes. Religion is an individual thing because it revolves around, in fact, this is, I think, a word that would sum up what we're trying to describe here. It's relationship. It's about a relationship with God that is begun with a new birth through Christ. It's begun when we turn from sin and when, based upon our faith, we confess Jesus and we're baptized. We're born again by the water and the Spirit. That's how this new birth occurs. And that's the beginning of it. But it's continued by doing these things that help that relationship with God grow, like prayer, like studying the Scriptures, like worshiping to God, like sharing our faith with others. But don't miss this component in that relationship with God. That relationship with God also brings with it the privilege, the opportunity, and even the responsibility of reaching out to others. What permeates spirituality and religion in the sight of God is a concern for other people. Let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Pure religion is to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. It's to care about other people. It's to demonstrate the love and compassion of Christ. It's not just an individual thing with God. It also includes the people around us. That's how God defines it. And with that relationship, there are boundaries, there are guidelines, there are rules. And that's why the doctrine of the Scriptures is so important, and it guides that relationship. But this relationship is to be static and growing. But it extends to other brothers and sisters of Christ. It involves community, better family, and mutual responsibility to one another. But all the while reaching out to others with the love and compassion of Christ. Are you spiritual? Are you religious? Or even better, do you have that relationship with God through His Son Jesus? If not, if it's your desire to make those initial steps of faithful obedience by becoming a child of God this morning, we hope and pray that you'll do so. But may all of us leave here committed and recommitted to growing in our relationship with God by talking to Him in prayer, by allowing Him to speak to us through His Word, by worshiping Him, by sharing our faith, sharing the gospel with others, but also by demonstrating the love of God to those around us, in our church family, and even out into the world. Do you need to respond to the invitation of Christ? We hope and pray that if you need to, that you'll come right now as we stand and sing.